Thou must respect thine bell. Welcome back to Crunch Time. Final segment on a Wednesday. That means it is Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, and he's going to tell us if he is buying or selling the prospectus involved with those stories. There is also an option for pending, which he sometimes uses. Let's go ahead and start with the big news from today with Oregon sports is that Devin Allen will leave school to focus on his professional track career and future Olympic career in the 110-meter hurdles. Allen, as you know, has torn his ACL in each of his last two seasons playing football. He's the fastest American in the 110 hurdles and finished fifth in the Olympics in Rio. He had previously talked about trying to pursue a pro football career after finishing up at Oregon, but a success in track refocused him, and as of now, he is no longer a student at the U of O and is a professional track athlete. Certainly, we all wish him well, but when he played football, he was a tough receiver to stop. Of course, health would always be a question mark for him, but the league minimum in the NFL is $450,000 a season. In track, the hope is that you'd be a million-dollar athlete, but that's mostly based on endorsements and winning competitions, basically, and only if you were able to remain a top-tier competitor for a long time. So either road kind of seems like a gamble for Allen, even if this one seems like less of one. The prospectus, Devin Allen leaving school to focus on his track career is a good idea.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, since it seems like when he plays football full-time, he gets hurt and misses the entire season.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't even have gotten drafted, and there was a crapshoot to begin with. So I would say, considering he's world-class without a doubt in one, I'm going to purchase that one.
I think we should give him another cha-ching just because he's about to make a whole bunch of money. Oregon basketball certainly laid one of the biggest eggs in college hoops so far this season when they got blown out on the road against Baylor yesterday. Shot horribly, got out-rebounded, out-shot blocked, and had no answer for Baylor's zone. Silver lining from yesterday is that they learned Dylan Brooks will likely be back as early as tomorrow against Valpo, even if Dana Altman kind of refutes that. But all of the things Dana Altman has been telling us, they're not practicing well, they're stuck in a slow gear, they're not playing like what they had been ranked number four in the country. Add to that performance the fact that they underwhelmed and were outscored in the second half by Army, a team that had a new coach and had to replace all five starters from the previous year. It has raised some eyebrows that this team might not be all it was cracked up to be. But Dylan Brooks comes back in a few days. The prospectus, Oregon's play in their first two games is a cause for concern.
Huh. I can't be concerned after two games, especially if you're listening to the coach. There's still a ways to go. They still need time to gel. So I'm going to take the rare pending route.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Or it might not be a legend. The Oregon football season is almost over. Like, no bowl game. Once the Civil War happens, the season is actually over. How crazy is that? So it had been our opinion that Mark Helfrich deserved a pass for previous results. Led the Ducks to a natty, helped Mariota win a Heisman. So one bad year full of youth, suspensions, and injuries is not enough for him to be out. It's not our place to flat out call for people's jobs. Doesn't feel right if they're genuinely good dudes like Helfrich is, but the defense that he should come back next year seems to be running out of steam. Oregon likely to play OSU for last place in the entire conference. That if Arizona beats OSU this weekend. Assuming Oregon loses the last two, it'll be the first time since 1991 that they only won three games in a year. And now they have issues with players getting kicked off the team for hitting women, getting DUIs, random assault against students like Darren Carrington apparently did. A lot is going wrong with Oregon football right now. But Helfrich is still 36-15, and Oregon hasn't fired a coach in 40 years. The prospectus, not should, but Mark Helfrich will be brought back next season.
Well, I got to tell you, these two games actually matter. They have no value, but they really matter. I think they're telling. Our coach is still in control and capable of finding ways to improve and finish stronger and being more competitive, because the last two games, if you ask me, there are no positives. It's a complete disaster. So I got to tell you, this is a week-to-week thing. I honestly think that right now, no definitive decision has been made. So I'm going to do it again, first time ever, and go pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Definitely not legendary with that one. The Super Bowl lines are kind of interesting right now. The Las Vegas Westgate Superbook has the 7-2 New England Patriots as the favorite to win it all over the Dallas Cowboys. That despite the Cowboys having a better record at 8-1. Dallas actually tied with 6-2-1 Seattle for the best odds to reach the Super Bowl from the NFC. A big reason for this apparently is that Dallas is still the last team to face a division leader and has easily the softest schedule in the NFL. But you watch them and they're dominant and a couple of plays away from being undefeated this year. They certainly passed the eyeball test. And New England just lost to Seattle, so they're definitely not untouchable even with Tom Brady. So if Dallas is the same odds to get to the Super Bowl as Seattle and Seattle just beat New England, then why is New England still the favorite? The prospectus, you buying or selling that New England is the best team in the NFL right now?
Well, the problem with picking the Cowboys to win it all is you're saying for the first time ever, a rookie backfield is going to win the whole shooting match. And you mentioned their schedule. Well, once you get into the playoffs, you're not going to have Cleveland on the schedule, or you're not going to have a free-falling Tampa or Detroit or anything like that. You're going to have to go back-to-back-to-back against playoff-caliber teams. And where are you going to put your money at this point? With a bunch of rookies and a franchise that has underachieved for two decades, or the standard setter? So I'm buying it.
Yeah, playing against some of those teams will make a rookie quarterback look really good, won't it? Tony Romo's like reading his statement. Yeah, but I could have played well against those teams too.
I got hurt again.
How about some baseball hot stove rumors, Steve?
Hot stove.
Focusing on your Yankees, who, according to a scout who spoke with WFAN in New York, they're gearing up to make a run at Mike Trout. Over the last year or two, the Yanks have been in the prospect acquiring business, basically. Traded away Aroldis Chapman, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Miller, and Ivan Nova in exchange for 12 prospects. They are prospect rich, which, as you'll remember, got them to the good years when they won championships with home run guys like Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, to name a few. So while it might seem like a good idea to mortgage some of that for one of the best young players in the game, it might be worthwhile to pause and remember guys like Gary Sanchez, who could end up being the asking price for a guy like Trout, who's only 25 himself. The prospectus, it would be a good idea for the Yankees to trade away their top prospects for Trout.
The Millville Meteor. That's what his nickname is, from Millville, New Jersey.
Take your word on that one.
I'm going to say, I don't think the Angels really have him on the block right now. I think you'd have to knock him out, and a guy who played 55 good games doesn't qualify. What was the prospectus again?
That it would be a good idea for the Yankees to trade away their top prospects for Mike Trout.
Sell 1,000 times sell.
That's interesting because Trout, again, he's only 25 years old himself.
I know. I get it. I just I don't think they need to do anything dramatic just yet. I think they have to go into next year and see if they are one great player away, which with that starting and a lot of questions in the bullpen, I don't think they are.
Admit it. You heard me mention Gary Sanchez and trade.
Can't take it anymore.
You're immediately out.
I'm hypnotized. I'm mesmerized. I can't have him go. By the time they throw the first pitch next year, I will at least have a Gary Sanchez jersey to be wearing.
Hey, how about this? One quick one, just because we got a little bit of time left. Ducks a 12-point favorite against Valpo tomorrow. Valpo 3-0. They got a guy who averages 26 points, 10 boards a game. The 12-point line?
But who they beat?
Well, Oregon just getting blown out by Baylor. I mean,
That was yesterday. Tomorrow's tomorrow. They're a better team. One thing, you know, Oregon's going to have a big advantage: size on Valpo. I think that's primarily where a lot of people are literally seeing where this might be a mismatch.
So you're buying that one?
Yeah, I guess I'll make a small purchase.